So we've been in a series now for about 3 weeks, and it's called the Engage series. And we've got this theme that we've been talking about and kind of weaving this one scripture verse through our Engage theme, and it's Matthew 10:8, and it's Jesus was talking to his disciples, and basically we've converted it to freely giving what we've freely received, right? Or have we talked about this? Freely giving what we've freely received. And that once we've experienced grace, that we are to become grace dispensers. Right? So everybody say that. I'm a grace dispenser. So we are just walking grace dispensers. And our desire in this community is to be a freeing, healing, redemptive presence. And we want to touch lives with the grace of God. And we talked about Abraham and that he had to cross barriers when God sent him out to engage a world that he didn't know much about. All he really knew was that God was calling him out. He knew that he would be a blessing, and he knew that others would be a blessing as he went. But what he didn't really realize was the massive proportions that others would be blessed, but they would be blessed as he went. It says, by faith, Abraham went. By faith, Abraham obeyed. And we are learning to cross the barriers that we need to cross, cultural barriers, faith barriers, worship barriers, all these barriers, the barriers that are in us, so that we can get to the place that we are freely giving. And we just confessed, you know what? We've got these places in us. You know what? We are going to grow in a freedom first to receive, because you can only give what you've received, and our ability to freely give. Amen. And last week we talked about prayer, and that prayer is really so key in engaging the world around us, because prayer really declares a partnership with God in the process. In Colossians 4, 2 through 6, it provided a framework for us, and we passed out our freely giving, what we've freely received, prayer sheets. And it's really just a tool to keep us alert. And here's what we believe by faith, is that as we pray, that these things are going to happen. These things are coming up. That as we pray, that we will become more alive and we'll become more aware of the opportunities that God gives us in our everyday lives to spread the good news, to spread the gospel. That God is the master of all planning master planners, right? Of event planners. He's just got it down. We talked about what he can do in 7 days is just phenomenal, right? We had little Maddie. She's still in the service. She's in the back. Look at that little tiny baby. I want to tell you that God is just masterful, even on our best days, at being able to plan things and put things together. You look at that little baby, and I can guarantee you he can handle your day and your work and your day timer and your weekly planner and your monthly calendar and all these types of things. That here's what we believe, that as we pray, that God will give us opportunities, that God will open doors that we can never, ever open, right? Remember we saw the video of the guys that were beaten on this door, the policemen? It was just a wooden door. It was a solid door, but these policemen in Bulgaria or somewhere were trying to pound down this door, and on their own strength, even with a battering ram and a crowbar, they just about wore themselves out trying to get in. And we can be the same way if we try to engage the world on our own power without enlisting God's help through prayer, is that we just wear out and we quit. And it's a completely different process when we engage in grace. When we enlist God's help and we partner with him, and that's why prayer is so key, because it said, right, that God will open doors. And when he opens them, I tell you what, it just feels entirely different. And lastly, we talked about being able to give an answer, and be one that's graceful and one that's seasoned with salt. And we said this, that if we will immerse our hearts in grace, our lives with grace, because we know that whatever the state of our heart is will come out of our mouth. And so if we immerse our hearts in grace, that our speech will be immersed in grace. And if our speech is immersed in grace, then the world, our worlds around us will be immersed in grace. You'll never have to search for exactly the right words to say if your heart is immersed in the grace of God. Amen? So that's kind of the recap over the last a few weeks. And Jesus' ministry was about engaging people and inviting them to a life-changing encounter with the living God. And Jesus invited and trained up his followers, and he equipped them to freely give. Actually, the verse that we looked at, Matthew 10:8, freely you've received, freely give, was to his followers, that he was trying to get them to that place. And I want to tell you, you know what, that it didn't happen overnight, that Jesus didn't have one 30-minute sermon with these guys, and then all of a sudden, they got it. You look at Peter's life, and one of Jesus' trials, the first one with the religious council, and Peter's out in the courtyard, and a little girl comes up and says, hey, weren't you like one of those guys? And Jesus, what was his or Peter's response? What was it? Anything but freely giving what he had received. In fact, he's like, there's all sorts of barriers going up in Peter's life. I mean, it's just nothing but fear. But over time, and Jesus took 3 years to train these guys and model it and speak certain things into their lives. And I want to tell you, empowered by the Holy Spirit, they come alive. And all of these men, and then all of the women that were around the apostles, they all get to the point where they build up and they freely give what they've received. They get to that place where not only it's just the people around them, but they impact the whole entire world. They impact nations. They impact regions by engaging their world. In fact, I think it's great. In fact, it all kind of boils up into the story of the lame beggar in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, right? This is a guy who's just sat there. This is a guy that's never taken a step in his life. And Peter comes up to him, the same guy that was like hardly freely giving at a certain point in time. And all of a sudden he says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. This is a guy that's freely giving. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And what happens? The guy instantly stands up and everybody is amazed. So we can't think, if the call is, and if we're looking at this next season as a church family for Ardent Faith, that we're going to be those that freely give what we've received, that, hey, is this going to be a 20-minute or 30-minute sermon? Pastor Jeff just told us that we need to be give freely, and so therefore we're going to get it. So that's why we're just focusing a little bit and taking some time to really be able to kind of push through some of these barriers. It just doesn't happen overnight. But what I wanted to do this morning is I wanted to focus on some of the words that Jesus spoke into the life of the disciples that built their faith. Like, what are these things, that these anchor points, these foundational things that Jesus spoke to them in the first century when Jesus was alive, that became seeds, that were faith builders in their lives, that when it needed to, and as it grew in their lives, that all of a sudden they became the dudes here in Acts 3:6. What I don't have, I can't give you, but what I do, phew, you've got it. That they freely give what they have received. That's the type of life I want, and that's the type of church family we want to be, isn't it? We want to give freely. So we want these words, and this is what this morning is all about. It's just about faith building as we engage. Faith building as we have our relational network, as we have these prayer sheets. And you don't have to use these prayer sheets if you got something else that works and is fine, and you got some other tool that just builds an awareness and makes you alive to the opportunities that God is putting in your life, in your iPhone, or whatnot. I don't know. It's fine, but the call is definitely to do it. So we want to engage in this same message, and what we looked at a couple of weeks ago is that, you know, it's God is the one who saves, who redeems, who heals, who restores, who makes all things new and brings this great message of hope. But you know what? He does it through people just like us, through us, every single day, all over the world. I love that. You know, when we felt freedom and we felt this kind of arise in our midst and in our hearts. And the first thing I want to do is we want to look at three faith builders today, three real punch points. And these are things that Jesus, like I said, spoke to his followers at the time. And I want to believe that these things will speak to us today and build our faith. So here's the first thing I want to say is that Jesus knew we'd have doubts and fears, and he took care of that. Jesus knew that we'd have doubts and fears, and he took care of that. So, and I want you to look to your neighbor and just say, yeah, he took care of that. He took care of that. He took care of that. Now, doesn't that feel great already? Yeah, Jesus, he took care of that. Feels good already. I don't have to feel so bad about the times in my life where I have a doubt or I have a fear about engaging in the Great Commission. Now, this doesn't mean that we go live our lives from doubt to doubt to doubt to doubt, right? Because that's not what Jesus paid for. Jesus paid for this, that when we find ourselves in a place of doubt, right, that we can move out of that place, that we don't have to live our lives out of those places of doubt and fear and brokenness and all that, right? That we can move on, that we can move out. In fact, there might be places that we don't ever have to go back to. I love that. So, why do I say this? Let's look at Matthew, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. We're going to read out of there. And keep in mind, these are the words that Jesus is speaking. This is kind of like he's got a curtain call, so to speak. He's spoken. Now he's got this one thing before he returns, after his resurrection, before he's going to return to the right hand of the Father and go there and intercede for us until the age to come. So these are probably pretty important things, right? If you thought about that, like if you've got like one last thing, you've got a last chance that you got an opportunity to speak something to somebody, are you going to fill it with frivolous things? Or are you going to speak it with something? If, you know, if people are on their deathbed, maybe they go code for a second and then they come back and they've got some clarity, right? At that point, they're going to say something meaningful. Not, hey, did you remember to feed the cat, right? They're going to tell you that, you know, they love you. They're going to tell you that they meant something to you. They're going to want to get some closure on something. So this is what Jesus says. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." So you see the therefore? Therefore, a reason. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And this is one of my favorite parts of all Scripture. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And there's a couple of just things in here. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. Therefore engage your world. What is he saying? He says, hey, I am sovereign. I'm sovereign over everything, but especially in terms of this mission that I'm giving you, I am sovereign, and therefore I have power over everything. And you can go, and you when you go, and especially when you go, you walk in my power. I am sovereign, and you walk in my sovereignty. I am above and over all things, and you have this in your life as well. You have access to that power in your life as well. But I want to tell you that it's especially true as you go and make disciples. It's especially true. It's true in all parts of our life. But I want to tell you, it's especially true. Therefore, go and make disciples. This authority has a great purpose. And that's because in the mission, Jesus is with his mission, don't you know it? And that's where the power comes from, the person of Jesus. The gospel has authority in it, and it's not because we're just awesome as we go out, but because Jesus is with his gospel, and that is where the power is. I love that. And verse 20. Some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. Surely I am with you. Surely. Like this is part. This is like the at the very, very end of it. Like he's given the mission, and he's telling us, like, you've got authority. I'm extending this to you. Surely. Like he really wants us to know. I am with you always. I mean, think of this time. Well, what about then? Well, what about always? Yeah, but this thing, always. I know, but this guy's tough. You haven't met my neighbor. Always. Surely to the end of the age. So we can go, and we're accessing great power. So, all right. So we're going to go on to faith builder number two. Is we've got power, especially when we go. Jesus knew we'd have fears and doubts, and the bottom line is, he took care of it already. He's already taken care of it. So the second one is, this thing we really need to think about is God is happy as he engages the world with the good news, and we're supposed to be happy with him in it. God is happy. God's glad in engaging the world with the good news, working his plan of salvation. And we're supposed to be happy with him in it. Now think about that for a second. How do you picture God when you think about, as he's working his plan of salvation, how do you picture the Heavenly Father? Do you picture him like he's really excited and he's glad in it? Or do you picture him just a little bit ticked off about some of the people that just aren't getting it? And do you picture him that he wants us to feel just a little bit guilty, even as we're trying to engage, even as we're trying to reach out, spending time in a sermon series with the things that we're just not getting right about engaging our world with the good news, that we're supposed to feel a little bit bad about it? Well, Jesus gives us some great words to tell us how the Father sees it. So let's look and see how Papa feels about it, and let that shape the way we see it. Amen? You guys ready for that? All right, John 4, 35 through 37. Jesus is talking to his disciples and saying, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. And they did have a saying, like you had to go through this process. You got to plant a seed, and it takes a certain amount of time to get a crop. There's a certain amount of things that you had to do. And it was about 4 months from seed to harvest, seed to crop that you could get. And it was about a four-month period of time. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Okay, oh, geez. We got to see this thing differently. Of course, he's talking about a spiritual harvest now, right? Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be what? Glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. So that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. How many here have had their dads open up jars for them? Isn't that a dad's job in the house? Give me that thing. You know, the kids are trying to open it. Wife's trying to open it. I don't know. Come here. Dad gets out. You get the gripper thing, right? One of the things that I used to love to do, especially if my daughter came to me, is I'd like to, like, secretly get it to the place where I'd just pop it. But she couldn't tell. And then I'd give it back to her. I'd say, you know what, honey? I'm just not feeling that strong today. I think you can handle this. And I'd give it back. And she'd go, oh, yeah, you know, wow, this is just great. I'm so, you know, she'd just be so excited. Well, this is the same way where it talks about one sows and the other reaps. God has done all of the hard work. That's what Jesus is saying. The field is white unto harvest. And just like this jar, he's handing us a jar so that we can finish it and we can be happy in it. God's happy to give us this jar, the field that is white unto harvest. But a lot of times he hands us the stinking jar and we want to hand it back. But we don't know until we try. But sometimes we don't try because we think dad's going to be mad at us if we try and fail. That God's probably just a little bit miffed already. But he's not. There's nothing he likes better. There's nothing that gives him more joy. He's glad in engaging the world with his good news. What could make him happier? It's his will that none should perish. When we engage and join him in partnership in this mission, there's nothing that makes him happier so that we can be glad. And we can be glad together. It's a partnership of gladness. But we've got to engage in it. Right? There's a call, there's some obedience on our part involved. But he's already done the hard work. He's paid the price. And all we do is simply put our hands to what God has already done. We simply just put our hands to what he is already doing. So let's not put down that jar that he's already loosened. Now it may feel like the jar is pretty tight. I'm not saying it's not going to feel that way at times. But let's go to faith builder number three. Jesus said that the fields were white unto harvest. What does that mean? What does it mean when the kernels are turned white? It means that the fruit is ready, right? That the grain is ready to go. It's ready for the harvester to come by and to pick it up. And here's faith builder number three. Is it up on the board? The harvest is ready, and here's what it says. Jesus is saying is that we can have faith for anyone. We can have faith for everybody. That's what he's trying to get us today. We can pray on this list. We can put everybody, anybody on this list. That when you think of somebody that God and the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to put on this list, that there is no limit, that you shouldn't pass anybody up because they've been really, really hard about it in the past, or they said something that hurt your feelings, or you pass them by too quick, or they had a bumper sticker on their car when you walked by their house, or whatever it was. This is saying that we can have faith for anybody to be harvested. Because God's done the hard work. It's God's will for that person that's been on your heart to come to know him, that they wouldn't be lost. That's what Jesus is saying. The field is white. He is just looking for a people. He is looking for a generation to see the harvest the way that he sees it. And the way that he sees it is that it's all harvestable, and it's all harvestable right now. That's the way he sees it. Well, I don't know if everybody's going to be saved. I don't know either. But Jesus is saying that I can have faith for anyone. And that's the place I'm going to live my life out of. That's the place where that's the basis for my prayer life, for our prayer life is going to be that we can have faith for anyone. And we're going to be obedient to it, and we're going to let the results be up to God. Okay? He's got his role, we got ours. Amen. So let's look at another passage as we look for this. Matthew 9:35-38. And I want to talk about this in terms of, we're going to use the message. And don't write me emails because I use the message on Sunday. In fact, I take that back. Write me the email and then we'll sit down and we'll look at the passage in the original Greek and we'll see what Eugene Peterson did. And most of the time we're going to see that it's pretty good for a paraphrase. But I love this paraphrase. And it's got the words that I want to play on here in this. Matthew 9:35-38. It says this. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke, so confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest. We have a harvest like this, right? We see people hurt and confused and aimless. He said to his disciples, how few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. When I first looked at this, I'm thinking, yeah, he just says, hey, disciples, pray for harvest hands. Pray for a bunch of people because there's few workers. And that's part of what it means. Absolutely. But I think the other thing that it means is maybe we should pray for harvest hands for ourselves. Like, we all have the ability to have harvest hands. And then when I was looking at this passage, you know, it says that that first Jesus had harvest eyes, didn't he? He said he looked out over the crowds. So he's seeing things. He's seeing that the fields were white unto harvest. And here he says that he looked out over the crowds, and it says that his heart broke. And other things it said, like he, you know, he had compassion, right? So then we see he's got his harvest eyes. It leads to what? A harvest heart. And because he's got a harvest heart, then he calls for what? Harvest hands. And that's the way it works. This harvest eyes, harvest heart, harvest hands. And we'll see that it's just engaging people with grace becomes a key priority for Jesus and for in his message that he gives to his followers, his disciples. And so it is with us today, that if we'll have harvest eyes, that the harvest heart just comes. And if we have a harvest heart, the harvest hands just come. It's just part of what we pray for. And again, this is just what our prayer sheets that we have. The whole purpose of this is that the thing that'll come, the fruit of this, hopefully is some people that we disciple, but also is harvest hands at Ardent Faith. Okay, so harvest eyes. How do we get harvest eyes? I want to tell you, when I started looking at it and thinking about, okay, what are harvest eyes? What do they look like? Here, I want to tell you, here's some harvest eyes. Here's some points that we're going to go over real fast. Is this, that deep down, non-Christians or those who are yet saved, I like that term the best, really want to know and obey God. That's what I think Jesus is talking about when the field is white unto harvest, that it's all harvestable. Right, that deep down, I think that's what Jesus would tell people. They really want to know and obey God. A second thing, that non-Christians or the not yet saved usually won't come to us to find God, that we have to go and engage them and bring them to the hope of Jesus. This is like an attitude, or this is harvest eyes, or this is a vision that we have to have. The third thing is that, you know, grace-immersed people make the best evangelists. Sometimes we think you have to have the gift to gab. You have to be an extrovert. You have to be a Bible expert. You have to go to Billy Graham's, Cove's class on being the four spiritual laws, and you got to memorize the Romans Road and all that stuff. No, you just have to immerse yourself in grace. You have to receive the grace of God, the good news, and you just have to accept it and live it out. And those people make the best evangelists. I'll take that person over the other guy that's got it all up here, got the four spiritual laws and hammers people to death, and is used to be a circus big tent director and can talk to anybody in the world. I'll take the person that immerses their heart in grace every single time. Let's see. Number four, effective engaging requires little training. Some training, get your training if you like, okay? But it requires little training. Number five, non-Christians or the not yet saved may not remember what they've been told regarding God's love, but they'll always remember when they've encountered God's love. They may not remember the exact details of how the Romans Road worked, but when they've encountered, and use the Romans Road, it's a good thing, but they'll remember more when they've encountered the living God through you and the grace of God through you. That part they'll never forget. They'll get that. That'll stick. That's what opens the door. That's what will make them come alive. And that's what opens the doors. Number six, the Holy Spirit is able and willing and free to break in and carry on his work in unspectacular, non-manipulative, yet surprising ways. Anytime, anywhere, any place, that doesn't have to be. Sometimes it is spectacular, but sometimes it's just unremarkable in our view. But when a heart gets turned towards Christ, It's an amazing miracle. Okay, number seven, if we're not careful, our day-to-day activities, and I know as a pastor I shouldn't even say this, but even our church activities can distract us from engaging our world with the good news. We really have to be careful that sometimes religious activities can be the biggest detriment to really engaging in our world with a God encounter. And that's just it. I'm just thinking about this as I was preparing this week and up on the camping trip and different things. And just, you know what? Should we be seeker-driven? Should we be attractional? Should we be this? You know what? I want to be an encounter-driven church. Because like I said, people, you know, if we're a people that encounter God, we can go out and encounter the world. And it's the encounter that they're going to remember. It's the encounter that makes the difference. Can you remember the first time you encountered the living God? And all of a sudden, all the doubts and the fears and the things that you didn't know about and the reasons you wouldn't go to church. I can. When I encountered God, I didn't care. And if my friends and my family at that point, if they wanted to be Jeff Watson's friend, and if they wanted to associate with me as a family member, I could care less. But the good news was that the ones that I didn't need as friends and didn't understand, thankfully, God called them out of the picture. But I tell you, my family was rejoicing. They didn't even understand what had happened necessarily. But it's the encounter. We want to be an encounter-driven church. So there's things that we have to kind of help and some tools for us. So these are the faith builders, right? That Jesus knew that we'd have doubts, right? And he took care of that. By his words, he gives us that extra assurance. The second one is God is happy. You got to believe this. He's happy as he engages the world with his good news. And that we're supposed to be happy with him. That's our destiny. Is we're supposed to be glad when this harvest comes to be and this fruit is picked out of the harvest field. We're supposed to be happy in it. If we engage in it, well, it's a partnership of gladness. And the third is that the harvest is ready. And this is what we have to understand, is that we can have faith for anyone. So hopefully, on your prayer sheets now, maybe the person that last week or this week, as you were thinking about it, you didn't want to write them down. Now you go home. Or maybe even if you got your list with you right now, you'll put that person on the list. What do you think? What do you say? I love that. I feel freer, I want to tell you. Because now I can put anybody I want. And the enemy was trying to tell me I couldn't put certain people on that list. He's a deceiver. All right. And there's things that we have coming up. We have training. We have one of the classes we have on Wednesday nights is about the Spirit-empowered life, and we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how they work in our day-to-day lives, including maybe engaging. We have club cards out there to pass out if you want to invite people. We've got events coming up like the Amazing Maze and Hallabaloo, all that sort of stuff. Dad's House. We have some things. We just had a free dental clinic, and what if everyone did there? But I want to tell you, it's a great thing to invite somebody to serve at Dad's House. It's a lot of times that when people serve, that this God connection or this God thing that they have in them actually gets awakened when they serve and when they get out of themselves, even if they aren't doing it for Christ's sake. that when they get involved, they start being around Christians and just serve, that it just awakens this connection to God. It's like, oh my gosh, there's something in me I've been ignoring. And when they go and they serve the poor, they reach out to somebody that needs some help, it can really awaken something in them. Amen? So, we're going to continue. We'll probably go on to some practical things next week. But I just really felt this week, you know what, is that we just got to build faith. We just have to use Christ's words and just draw from those as we look out on these things. Julie's got these relational things. We'll pass those out, but I want to pray right now. Put your hand over your heart. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use this morning to build our faith. Lord, we just, we're so grateful that you're okay with the moments that we doubt and we have fear. We're so grateful that you took care of that you gave us the authority, that we don't have to stay in that place of doubt and fear, and that when we go out in your name, Lord, that we go out in your power. We're grateful for that. We're so grateful that you give the promise that you are with us, and we know that from the book of Haggai that a nation was changed just because you said that you're with us. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, just to keep encourage us that we can have faith for anyone to be saved, Lord. And also, we want to be your partner in gladness, Lord. And we want to see it the way that you see it, that harvest field, that it's all harvestable. Right now, we want to be that people. We want to be that generation. And we give you all thanks and all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.